The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
And good afternoon. Welcome in here on a Tuesday. A lot to do today. Some really good guests, and we will get to them momentarily, as well as your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's hit some headlines here and tell you what you've been missing since we last saw you. How college football transfer portal is changing spring practice. We'll talk to the author of that. It's changing everything. Opinions coming from all walks of the college football world. But what about spring practice, which is ending in most places or has already ended? AR-15, the main man, as Florida plots a new course. He was a big name last year in the offseason. We didn't see enough of him because of injury. But Billy Napier wants to make him the centerpiece of the Gators. News from Vanderbilt? How about this? A new basketball operations center, some new sports being announced. Vanderbilt, anchor down. Okay, well, we've got anchor any way you want. We have a lot to do today, and we will talk to a number of guests. Mina Kimes joining us shortly, one of the NFL experts, as we are now just 9 days away from the draft. Sportico's Dana Libet. He's always got some chock full of information. And David Howe, we mentioned him a minute ago. He did the take on NIL and the transfer portal. Before we get going with live calls, let's hear a dead caller, or one that deadened the show late in the program yesterday. Jay Call was one of the final callers of Monday night.
They talk about how long it's been since Miami won a championship, 20 years, 21 years. They talk about how long it took Georgia to win another championship. But the Bama fans, what they fail to realize and what they conveniently leave out all of these little arguments is when Alabama went from 1980 to 2009 and only had one championship, so that's about 30 years, all teams go in spurts, and some teams are so unfortunate not to win a championship at all. So Georgia should keep celebrating and celebrate until September because they're the national champions. And the Bama fans might as well just shut up and deal with it.
Shut up and deal with it. Sounds like a poster somewhere. Mac is up next in Baltimore. Mac starts us off. Hello, Mac.
Hey, Paul. Thanks so much for having me on, and thanks for letting me follow up on that call. You know, I'm all for letting the Georgia fans celebrate this offseason and getting their last talks in, because I don't know. Last season, it felt like a magical season for them. You know, pieces were getting put together. Stetson Bennett, you know, the folklore hero, put the season together that he needed. They lost to Bama in the championship game, but, you know, got revenge. Doesn't seem like it's something they're going to repeat. You know, they worked so hard to beat Saban for years. They call him Satan. You know, down south, that's not something that we use lightly. And then all of a sudden they beat them once, and, you know, they're celebrating. They'll celebrate because this ain't going to happen again soon, Georgia fans. This isn't, you know, a changing of the guards. Saban hasn't gone anywhere. Bama's still going to whoop their ass, and the East is just going to catch up to them.
How interesting, Mac. Thank you for the call. Catherine in Florida. Catherine, go right ahead. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. I just wanted to thank you for the hour-long session you had with the Archbishop Moreno last Friday.
Oh, thank you so much.
That was such an uplifting, hour, and it just calming to what we're faced with now as far as what's going on in the world. And I just thought that he gave us hope. So it was great. I love the story of how he became friends with you. That was rather cool. And then sort of gave me a better view of Jim when he called in.
I thought the Jim from Tuscaloosa Archbishop Moreno conversation was one of the most interesting we've ever had. It was a very difficult question if you have followed the Catholic Church over the many, many years, because it's a church that has evolved, as a lot of churches. And it took someone with great expertise, which the Archbishop has, and someone who understood the simplicity of the question, which in many people, in many religions, it's very simple, but also the complexity of the meaning. It was just a phenomenal exchange. I'm so glad you heard it.
Well, I just felt so much better with that, being Holy Week, and a lot of us were raised in a faith where, you know, it was rather stringent.
Sure.
And, you know, felt like if you didn't follow the rules that you really weren't going to have much of a hope for when the time came. But thank you, Paula. It really was very, very moving, and I appreciate it. Have a
Catherine,
good day.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's something we don't do very often. Obviously, it's a sports show. It's not the Mother Angelica or you know, the Joel Osteen Hour, but it is. I mean, we did it on Good Friday, in the final hour of the week, and I always learn so much from it. I know some people study the Bible and study theology and study religions and have a greater understanding of it than us lay people. But it was just fascinating. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Brylan is in Tennessee. Hello, Brylan. You are on the air.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. I was just wondering, do you think by any chance Tennessee will win the SEC East and pull off a miracle?
Brian, I know we just got through talking about Good Friday and religion, but no, I don't see that happening. I don't see any miracles coming. I find it miraculous somebody would ask that question legitimately, but that's okay. That's just me. Dave is in Tennessee. Hello, Dave.
Me?
That is
Am
you.
I here?
If your name is Dave, then go right ahead.
Okay, well, I'm from Missouri.
Well, hold on one second.
Dave
Let's
from
start
Missouri.
This over again, because we don't want to confuse Missouri and Tennessee. Dave from Missouri.
I know. I was hoping. That's why I used to be Drive-By Dave on the radio, and I just was hoping you wouldn't get me mixed up with him.
Well, I did, Dave, so go ahead.
Wherever
you are from, the floor is yours.
Okay. This is to all the young callers, even like the last one. If they have a good work attitude, they can be whatever they want to be. They can be like my dad and be a salesman and be successful. They can be like me. I didn't go to college, but I got me a trade. And also, I'm
able to imitate singers. What trade did you have?
I was an electrician before I retired.
Wow. I don't know why I thought you were going to be a welder, but go ahead.
Yeah, I sound like a welder.
yes, you do.
I can also imitate singers' songs. Their voices, like Lenny Kravitz, It Ain't Over Till It's Over.
Okay, who else?
I can do Pink Floyd, Brain Damaged.
Ooh.
Would you like to hear a couple of notes?
I heard some Emerson, Lake and Palmer coming in today. That was cool.
Yeah.
Hadn't heard that in a while.
Give us some Pink Floyd.
Give us a little Pink Floyd.
Yeah, here we go. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall.
The Gong Show.
We did that for a couple of reasons. Number one, to save us money. So if you go over, how long do you have to go on a song that we had to pay a fee to ASCAP? And number two, we did it to save the audience their lunch. We are coming up with Mina Kimes, who will elevate the IQ of the show significantly when we talk to her and talk the NFL draft right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. We're, about a week and 2 days away from the draft, something that our next guest has been talking about for a considerably long time. Mina Kimes joins us from ESPN. You see her every day on NFL Live, and you see her here, and we're delighted to have you. Mina, it's been a long time. How are you? I read about you all the time. I keep up with you through various means. You seem to be doing quite well.
I'm good. It has been a long time. This is the time of year when our paths converge, right? And it's one of my favorite times of the year for that reason.
Yeah, you're not someone that just runs onto the set and rattles off the top two or three headlines. I mean, every time I've ever spoken to you about the draft, I feel like a shrinking violet, because I'm just in awe of how much you know and how much you put into this. How do you get ready for an event like next week? I suppose by doing it every day, but what is your methodology?
Sleeping less, Paul, is where it starts. With the NFL season, and I think I speak for my colleagues as well, we don't get the chance to watch that much college football. So as soon as the Super Bowl ends, the cramming begins, even before the combine, trying to prepare as much as possible, watch as many games as possible in a pretty short amount of time. And it's an interesting way to, kind of evaluate and consume the tape.
Yeah, I mean, you can go a lot of different directions because I find in talking to experts like you, the questions are pretty prosaic. Is it who's number one, the quarterbacks? But I know that's not exactly how you do it. Do you look at specific team needs? Do you look at positions? How do you go about consuming all this? Because it can be an endless proposition.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We look at team needs, positional value. When you look at a player like Jordan Davis, for example, or Kyle Hamilton, I think that becomes an important question in trying to predict where they'll be drafted. And then another thing we look at that's not discussed as often is timelines for the teams. Are these teams trying to compete now? Do they want a guy, whether it's a quarterback or an edge rusher, who can step in and contribute immediately and make an impact? Or are they on a longer timeline? Are they comfortable taking a more developmental prospect? That's all really important when trying to evaluate the fit of the prospects with the teams.
The obsessive position in the NFL is always quarterback. So let me begin there, because a lot of big moves have already been made leading up to the draft. But short of something happening between now and the draft, and it looks like there could be some things happening, what do you see from the prospects coming out of college this year?
I see a lot of question marks. This quarterback draft class is much maligned, perhaps unfairly. Odds are one of the top five will become an NFL starter, at least based on, the typical outcomes for these classes. But, I agree with a lot of my colleagues that if these quarterbacks were in last year's draft, they would certainly not be going in the top half of the first round. And, I go back to what I said about floor and ceiling. I think that becomes really important when you're comparing a quarterback like Malik Willis, who I think has the highest ceiling, but there's a lot of variance there, there's need for development, to a quarterback like Desmond Ridder, who's a player I've really enjoyed watching over the last month because he's such a good processor. He's so good at setting protections, which is part of the reason why he's excellent against the blitz, but perhaps doesn't have the ceiling of a Malik.
It seems like the interesting team is the Carolina Panthers, because no matter what they do, they don't ever seem to have a quarterback. Even though they drafted a guy a couple of years, they signed a guy last year who was, I think, the number two or three pick from a couple of years ago. Do you see one of these going there? There's a lot of talk about Baker Mayfield. That's a name from the past. What is somebody going to dive in early on one of these guys?
Well, there's a lot of noise around Carolina drafting a quarterback at six. This is a team that, as you mentioned, has been basically desperate to find a quarterback over the last few years. The trade for Sam Darnold, you alluded to, doesn't look great in retrospect, although their new offensive coordinator, Ben McAdoo, did say today he's the starter, which probably throws some mock drafts into a little bit of disarray. I think that desperation is never a good stance from which to approach a draft, especially a draft like this. And I look at this Carolina team, and I think they're improved, but they still don't have a start, like an above average left tackle. And part of me thinks that if they were to take, I don't know, a Kenny Pickett, who there's a lot of rumors around there, or even a Malik Willis, looking at this offensive line and the team as a whole, I'm not sure they'd be put in a position to succeed. And part of me thinks they'd be better off bolstering the offensive line and waiting until next year, which, as you know, Paul, is a much better class for quarterbacks.
Yeah, it is. I do not want to go there, although we were talking about the Alabama spring game the other day, and then with Bryce Young, there may be competition with one of his teammates for the number one position, Will Anderson, but we'll save that from a year from now.
Yeah.
But it will be a little more exciting, I agree. You mentioned Davis from Georgia, and that whole unit has been so awesome and elite. And I know it's a topic you guys have talked about on NFL Live. Just as you go through some of those players, sometimes it's a little bit hard to differentiate because they were so good together.
100%. And by the way, just watching Georgia, whenever I try to watch an individual player, I'm constantly distracted by another player doing something incredible. And first I'll say this, thank God they won it all. Because if they did, we'd be watching them and have some serious questions for the coach and quarterback, because this was basically an all-star team, you know, on the defensive front. But it does, to your point, make it a little bit harder to evaluate them, not just because they obviously benefited from playing with each other, which is important, but also because their roles were really unique in that defense because of the surplus of talent. You know, a player like Trayvon Walker, for example, who some people are now talking about as a top three pick, which seems a little bit rich to me. But his production was lower, as you know, in part because how he was used, lined up so much at the three tech or the five, not asked to just go far outside to like a wide nine position and rush the rush the quarterback, pin his ears back like Thibodeau or Hutchinson. And you have to consider that when you're evaluating, or a Jordan Davis who had a limited snap count, which I think when teams look at taking him, you know, in the first half of the first round, that raises questions. How useful is he? But you have to consider in that Georgia defense, he was asked to do something very specific and he was very, very good at it.
Nina, finally, I'm interested in how you view the draft in a bigger part, because we see the mocks. Maybe we pay too much attention, and we give the owners, the GMs, so much credit. But I come away, and I don't cover the NFL to any degree like you do, but I always come away underwhelmed by the intelligence of the people making the choices that we build up all year long. How do you see draft night and all the things that go into it? Because I see a lot of guys who look like deer in the headlights when the night finally arrives.
Well, I think that cuts to your earlier question about the Panthers and what I said, which is it's never a good sign when teams are acting out of desperation. And I think that's something you see a lot in the draft. You're definitely going to see this year with teams, if, and this is a big if, of course, multiple quarterbacks go in the first round. That, to me, is desperation. These are not quarterbacks who are, you know, in, at least not the whole group, are first-round caliber. But a lot of times GMs make decisions based on their own timelines, the feeling, I have to win now to save my job. And I think that can lead to some bad decisions, which is why so many draft picks don't work out.
We'll see a lot more of you and your crew as we get ready for Las Vegas next week. Mina, thank you. It's always such a pleasure to see you.
It's great to see you, Paul.
Thank you so much. Mina Kimes joining us as we continue getting you ready for the draft. It's a week from Thursday night from Las Vegas. We have a lot to do here. More of your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome all of you back, and it's great to have you here. And Will is in North Carolina. Hello, Will. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Off to a good start this afternoon.
Thank you.
Since John didn't call and tell you how to run your show at the very beginning of the show. I know a couple months ago I requested the guest, Tony Kornheiser, to come on, and I've been watching a bunch of Orioles games this past couple weeks now that baseball started. Has Ben McDonald ever been on the show?
He's been here before.
I was going to see maybe if you could get him back on or whatever. I find it interesting. I mean, during the season, does he live up there? I mean, maybe you could get him back on.
I think he lives in Louisiana.
Yeah, I mean, I know he pitched for Louisiana, and, you know, the Orioles drafted him or whatever, but I think he's pretty good. I like him
We know him pretty well. He's been here a number of times. Thank you very much for the call. Adam is in Alabama. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Paul. The moment may have passed just a little bit, but since you started the show, it ended with Mr. J.K.
Right.
Calling yesterday afternoon at the end, and you started the show off with him. I just wanted to kind of correct him a little bit, and I thought it's funny that he kind of conveniently forgot about that national championship in 1992 that Alabama won against his Miami Hurricanes, where we pretty much drug them up and down the field to the beating of 34-13, and it really wasn't even that close. Their Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Gino Toretta sat on his backside most of the time.
I think he was sacked 11 times, if I remember the game correctly.
Yeah,
it's only been 29 years.
And make sure everybody had their facts right. So I just wanted to correct the gentleman,
and not only that, Adam. What about with the 42-13 beatdown that Alabama put on Miami this past season?
Yeah, even this past season, you know, maybe he just kind of needs to stay in his lane a little bit with that until his team, you know, and Mario Cristobal. You know, we love him here in Alabama, just for what he did for us. During our couple championships we had here recently, and you know, so no disrespect to the Miami Hurricane program or Mario, but no disrespect to J.K. I just want to make sure he had his facts correct.
Well, one thing about J.K. Facts have never gotten in the way of anything he has said. Tony is in Florida. You are on the air. Hello, Tony.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you letting me jump in. A&M grad, but a realist. And I've been reading some of the articles you've had out about A&M and its victory totals this year. And I think you're now up to 10, if I remember the last article. Just a quick question.
Tony, just for the record, if I could make sure, I know you – when you see an article that has my opinion on A&M, that doesn't mean I've written 10 articles. That just means I spoke somewhere and 10 different outlets picked it up. Because I had somebody say, why are you so obsessed with A&M? Every article I read by you, I don't write articles. I'm no longer a sports writer.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. I must have misstated my question. I thought that you had predicted A&M's win total at 10 this year.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. You misunderstood me. I misunderstood you. What's that old song? I caught you looking back at me while I was looking back at you. Yeah, whatever. I think I did say 10 wins, and here's why. Alabama to me is a loss, and there's another loss there somewhere, but I don't think it's that easy to predict.
Yeah, well, I guess my point is that, you know, they start out with Sam Houston and Appalachian State, which they're not cupcakes. I mean, Sam Houston is, you know, a proven program.
Tony, come on. They are cupcakes.
Well, no, I mean, you know, Appalachian State will – Appalachian
Cupcake.
State will play anybody anytime.
Yeah, and they'll lose to anybody anytime.
Ask Michigan.
That was
so. I guess I'm, you know,
ago.
And then, you know, and then we have the difficult road schedule this year. So I'm,
well,
you know,
here,
I'm
you
just
know, Tony,
a realist.
You know, at Alabama, you know, South Carolina is a tricky game. I'm looking up there. Auburn, who knows? I think 10 wins is doable. It may be better, but. The game that's going to matter the most is the Alabama game. And I do not see A&M beating Alabama this year. I mean, that's not really a tough prediction for me to make. That's a major revenge game, and I don't think A&M is quite there. A&M next year could be, but not this year. Mike is up next in Alabama. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, another guy already stole my thunder there. I was calling mainly to correct our friend down in Miami. But I'll throw this at him, too, just to make sure. I sense that he's a little antagonistic against his Alabama friends, and we are friends. But because if we weren't friends, we wouldn't have sent one of Bear's boys down there, Coach Schnellenberger, to put Miami on the map for him. So
yeah,
he needs
Mike,
to
the thing that J.K. has to understand is that nobody takes Miami seriously. They're not a rival of anyone anymore because they've really become a doormat in college football. And now they could get better. I'm impressed with the hire of Mario Cristobal, but Miami's days are 80s, 90s, and pretty much end around 2000.
Well, you know, Mama taught me to respect my elders. At least until time got turned a little bit. So. Anyway, I wanted to make one suggestion for you, too, Paul. I think that, one of these next times when you want to take a little vacation, I think you need to let some of your most popular callers do your show. What do you think about that idea?
Mike, I think that's a phenomenal idea. I would say this is about 10 or 15 years ago, we advertised for a co-host of the show. More like 15 years ago,
wow.
Maybe longer. And we had people coming in. It almost became a burden. We had ministers coming in trying out, therapists, FedEx drivers who were better than the therapists and the ministers. And we had a lot of fun with it. I think it's a phenomenal idea. And I will recommend it to those who supervise the show. You think they'll go along with it?
Well, no? I sure hope they will. I think we ought to start with Jim, too. Let Jim take the helm of that
next time. Jim's not going to be offered because Jim has been invited to host the show many times and has always turned us down.
I'm disappointed in that. I hope Jim will call in and maybe change his mind. But I think you got quite a few guys that do a fantastic job, and I think you ought to give them a shot.
Jim once told me, I believe this is true, that he was being wooed by a competing station. I'm not laughing at that prospect. We are coming back. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. A lot of guests. We've started with Mina Kimes. We have plenty of time for you to get in here, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. If you'd like to give us a ring, you can do so now at 855-242-7285. A number of guests remaining. And let's check in with Mike in California. Hello, Mike.
Paul. I'm not going to ask you how you're doing today because I know how bad it irritates you. So I'm going to say I'm glad you're having a good day. I want to chime in on two things. Number one, I am in California. I am here for a year. I'm a dual resident, but I live in Griffin, Georgia, and I've called you many times.
Well, thank you.
Number two, the NIL has changed the game. And quite frankly, I want you to think back to Todd Gurley. I want you to think back to Todd Gurley signing a few helmets and getting money to, buy a pizza and being told he couldn't do that. Now, I know Todd Gurley didn't sue because he went on to make millions in the NFL. But at the end of the day, that's what this came down to. It's being abused by coaches. It's being abused by the likes of Jimbo Fisher. And Jimbo Fisher, let's just call him what he is, okay? He's a very good quarterback coach who came into FSU. He came into FSU and was disdained later on in life by his mentor, his mentor was Nick Saban, but his mentor at FSU, and Bobby Bowden wished he never hired him. So at the bottom line, at the end of the day, this is where we are. You've got a guy who lets people steal crab legs and uses them to win a national championship, who's going out and buying players. Now Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, other coaches have to respond. Either that or they're going to lose the best players. And quite frankly, I would like to believe as a Georgia guy, and I am a Georgia guy, and I believe that Alabama is the best team in the country next year, and I believe we were the best team in the country last year, just to clear that up. But I do believe, very simply, that you have to respond, even though I really don't think Kirby and Nick have to. I think Kirby and Nick need to keep putting pit players in the NFL, unlike Jimbo Fisher, and then at that point in time, it will settle down. You put the players in the NFL, let them make their money there. Yeah, get them an NIL deal so they can buy pizza and date money and do whatever. And I believe this will level out. But I don't believe it's going to level out anytime soon. I believe it's going to level out after somebody basically sues. Like, for example, somebody at Texas A&M comes in and they're given $1 million over a 3-year contract and sues to get out of their contract so they can transfer. So basically what you're looking at is the next couple of 2 or 3 years of this garbage. But I do believe it will take care of itself. I welcome your thoughts, and I wanted to say what I think a lot of people are thinking, but don't want to say so, and I know you can't say it because, quite frankly, you have Jimbo Fisher as a guest all the time, and ESPN has him doing simulcast on the national championship game, which I thought was hilarious. I'm going to hang up now and listen to your comments.
Mike, thank you. It's always great to hear from people from California. Nick is also in California. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's up? It's Nick.
Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? Hey, I've been listening to your show about a year or two, and I always hear people talking about Tammy. So I never heard Tammy. So I YouTube Tammy, and I'm telling you, she's the best caller ever. So I think you should name your award the one that Legend won after her. I don't think no one is a better caller than Tammy. She had me laughing for about an hour.
Well, Nick, I think you're right. Tammy Bullard was her name. She was killed tragically about 3 years ago in a terrible accident south of Birmingham. She was with her granddaughter in a car. It was a tractor trailer, went over the median and sideswiped her. So she'd been calling a long time. You could tell from the YouTube she was an Auburn fan and just about as great a person as I've ever met.
Well, I think you should name your awards.
You're right. I think we are thinking about another set of awards, which we'll consider naming for her. It's more of a lifetime award, a Hall of Fame type situation.
But, right.
But Nick, thank you for sharing that with us. And she was really special. I'm so glad you called. More of your calls continuing here. John is in LaGrange, Georgia. John?
I just want to know what you think is going on at the University of Georgia with all the people going on the portal, all the coaches leaving, blah, blah, blah. I'll hang up and let you comment.
Yeah, I think what's happening at Georgia is predictable. When you win the national championship and you're going to lose a couple of players, but that's not counting with what Georgia is bringing in. I think that program is loaded. It's prime for another run maybe in a year or two. I think it will be a contender this upcoming season. I think a legitimate contender. I just think right now there's Alabama and everyone else. Thank you very much for the call, though. Let me try Philip, who is next up in Missouri. Hello, Philip.
Hey, Paul, first-time caller. I was calling about the California-Georgia person about the NIL and Georgia and Alabama just winning and putting players in the NFL, and they take care of Texas A&M. Well, if I remember right, A&M signed about 5 of the top 10 Georgia players this past year and didn't win anything with NIL. So, and Georgia won the national championship. So to act like A&M and schools like them don't have to be dealt with. Georgia and Alabama is going to have to come up with something too, in my own opinion.
Well, thank you very much, Philip. It's good to hear from you. Doug is up next. Hey, Doug.
Yeah, my quick question is, with the NIL and all the transfer portal and the people getting money, and I don't know if there's a salary cap or not, what do the subordinate players get, like a guard or a tackle or people that a tight end that are helping these star players get better and better?
Doug, let me make it clear. NIL is an individual situation. It's not, there's no such thing as a group payment. That would be professionalism. And to protect themselves from being labeled that, the NIL is a name, image, and likeness associated with the individual person. So there's no salary cap. There's no salary level. You get whatever you can within reason. You can get as little or as much as you can. It's a free enterprise system.
Do you think that would create some animosity between some of the players within
yes.
the same team?
Sure it will. We haven't really seen a lot of evidence that it has yet, because I think it's still new. And remember, players are these collectives now are going to ensure that masses of players are going to start making money. Every player gets a cost of living or a cost of attendance allotment, $5,000-$7,000. Some players can get even an equal number of that because of the Alston ruling, depending on how they apply it or claim to apply it for education. But there is no standard right now, not at all. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Bob is in Tennessee. Bob, go right ahead.
Mr. Feinbaum, the king, the man, the potentate of the sports airwaves. Thank you for taking my call today, sir.
Thank you.
I have two things that I'd like to address with you. The first one is the baseball coach at the University of Tennessee and the incident that took place on the field during the Alabama game on Saturday, I think it was.
Yeah, Tony Vitello.
I do think that he should not have touched the referee. I do think the referee did deserve a good cussing because they were making some crap calls. Just my opinion. And I do believe that Tennessee is going to win a national championship this year in baseball. The question, and that was just a state of my observation. I wouldn't like your feedback on it. But secondly, Paul, I'm believing in my Tennessee Vols more than ever. In the last several years, I've been a fan for years, and this last 12 to 15 years has been...
Bob, I hate to do this. We're right at the end of the hour. We'll pick this up with an answer right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.